You can see how God is using the ministry of Student Venture to impact lives in incredible ways. And tonight, we are blessed to have the National Director for Student Venture with us this evening. Daryl Smith is from Chattanooga, Tennessee, where they had snow for Christmas, which was a pretty special treat. He served in the U.S. Army for 3 years, and he's been on staff since 1996. Would you please give a warm welcome to Daryl Smith? And Daryl, we have a little tradition here, and I hope you don't mind, but I did bake you a pie. Could we get that whipped cream too? We need that whipped cream for this one, because I got a little birdie told me that Daryl's favorite pie is sweet potato, and I've never baked a sweet potato. Yeah, I'll give you the fork. You're ready. I've never baked a sweet potato pie in my life, but that's how it turned out. Thank you, Alton Brown. We're just gonna do a little of this. So you know where to eat, all right? And I just want you to dive in. There's a maple syrup little thing on top of there, too, and you're not afraid. Like this, Daryl.
But the last thing a fat guy need to do is waste food on his shirt before he has to speak.
That's true. I'll hold it above. Just get in there. Don't be afraid. There you are. Yeah. Yeah. Hold on. You need a round two?
No, I don't need round two.
So
I need you to take it to my wife so I can eat it the rest of the night.
I will. If you need a little more motivation for tonight, this will be waiting for you at the end of the talk. Now tell me how I did. Was it decent?
For a white guy, you knocked it out the bottom. I've been on staff now for 15 years, and coming on staff as African American, and there was not too many African Americans on staff, and staff would invite you over to dinner. And I came to the conclusion that all white people cook casseroles. So it was nice. Thanks, brother. It was nice to have something beside a casserole. It was nice. And you all know what casseroles are. Casseroles is just leftover food that you take out the refrigerator, you put some bread crumbs and milk and cheese, and you stick it in the oven. That's all casserole is. I'm from the hood. We like neck bones, pinto bean, collard greens. How many of y'all ever had any chitlins? Oh, we got a chitlin girl down here on the front. Do y'all know what chitlins are? Don't even worry about it. I'm not going to tell you. But it's a privilege to be here at TCX, to be with you all tonight and tomorrow night. And my prayer is that I would minister to you from God's word, that we will open the word, we will get in the word, and that the word of God will minister to you as it ministered to me. What are you doing with my pie? If it's my pie, leave my pie alone. God. Was the pie just part of a skit? Was it just like your MC trends? Oh, is it really my pie, or was that just part of the program? Dang. God. Hey, Chris, I thought it was my pie. On the program, they got a pie, 2 minutes. No, take the pie to my wife. Honey, hold on to the pie, keep the pie. The MC give it and the MC take it away. Now, just hold on to my pie. But I do have my families here with me. Want to say to TCX, thank during the Christmas season for you all, my kids, older kids home from college. You all allowed them to come. That's a blessing. But my wife, Gwen, my daughter, Ashley's 25. My son, Elliot's 22. My son, Skeet, 11. And Elliot's girlfriend is here with him. She's from Iowa. She drove 3.5 hours. She drove 3.5 hours to be with her boyfriend. They in love. They in love. But we're going to dive in the word and allow God to minister to us. Now, by now, you all have figured out a couple of things. One of them, I'm a Tennessee Vol fan. How many Tennessee Vols fans do we have in here? How many of you all really know that the SEC play the best football? And every time the SEC in the championship, we blow teams out. Now, that's the first thing. I'm a Tennessee Vol football fan. I love the Vols. The second thing that you all ought to know by now, I'm African American, meaning I'm black. And as an African American preacher, we like people to talk to us. We like feedback. We like for y'all to participate. Now, if you say amen while I'm speaking, I'm gonna think that you're tracking with me. And I'm gonna probably preach for 2 hours. But if you don't say amen, I'm gonna think you're not tracking with me, and I'm gonna preach to at least 1 o'clock in the morning. So you all are determined how long that I speak tonight. Yeah, I get you talking now. You don't want to be here all night, I know. But we're going to talk about awaken to God's love. And we just celebrated Christmas, and I want to look at the Christmas story to talk about God's love. We're going to be in Matthew chapter, we're going to start out in Matthew chapter 1. And because when you talk about God's love, you must look at God's love in the context of relationship. If you and I don't understand that God is a God of relationship, and the way God's love is manifested to you and me is not based on what we do, but based on Him and His love for us through His Son. And we're going to see that in the Christmas story, if you and I ever struggle with God's loving us, that we can always go back to the Christmas story. That the Christmas story is so much about, for God so loved that He gave. That He gave His only begotten Son, that He sent Jesus into the world, that you and I can experience God's love, not just at salvation, but all through our Christian life, we ought to experience God's love. And any time that you think that God don't love you, you ought to run right back to His Son. Anytime that I'm struggling with God's love, I need to run back to His Son. That God gave His Son, put Him in this world, born of a woman, so you and I can experience God's love and forgiveness in our life. It is relationship driven. And we're going to look at that. Let's look in Matthew chapter 1. Let's start at verse 18. And when our key verse will be verse 23. Then we'll look at a few more places. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. Come on now. Guys, you done asked this girl to marry you. You tell her that you love her. And then she tell you she pregnant. And you know that that you haven't touched her. And she telling you nobody haven't touched her. Guys, how many of you all gonna believe that? Come on. Now, in this social world that we have, everybody will be tweeting and texting and Facebooking. Man, that girl she talking about, that she ain't been with nobody. She pregnant. She must think we crazy. But the Bible says that Joseph was a righteous man. Now, you're talking about love. Here is love being manifested. Joseph was going to put her away privately. Joseph was not going to take her on Jerry Springer. You know how we operate. We want to be on Jerry Springer. And here's the thing. If I get a letter in the mail saying that my wife and Chris Zog want me to come to Jerry Springer, I know that they mess up. It's no need for me to show up on Jerry Springer for Chris and Gwen to tell me they girlfriend and boyfriend. It don't make sense. But when you love somebody, you don't mistreat anybody. And Joseph was so in love with Mary that he was willing to do the right thing. Not right in the eyes of the world, but was right in the eyes of God. Now, I know Joseph was struggling. Joseph probably was sitting around struggling. But then the Holy Spirit came. It said, but when he considered this, verse 20, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, and she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sin. Verse 22, now all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, our key verse, verse 23, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translates, God is with us. From the beginning of time, God has pursued a relationship with us. The God of all creation loves you and I so much that God have always wanted to dwell with us, be in a love relationship with us. In the garden with Adam and Eve, God created Adam and Eve, and he put them in the garden. And then say, in the midst of the garden, God will walk through the garden to have fellowship with them. And they blew it. It said they tried to hide themselves from him. And even when Adam and Eve blew it and God pushed them out of the garden, and really they didn't lose the garden. What they lost is being in the presence of God. They didn't just lose the garden. They lost the love relationship that they was created for in the presence of a holy God. And God pushed them out. But God loved mankind so much that then in Genesis 15, we see God began to deal with the human. He go from dealing with the human race to dealing with the children of Israel. And God began to tell the children of Israel, I want you to build a tabernacle. And he tell them why he wanted them to build a tabernacle. He said that I may dwell among you. And then we see that God in the tabernacle, God's presence, God was able to be in relationship with man through the tabernacle, through the holiness of holiness. But that was not enough. God then, and we see through the birth of Jesus, his name should be called Emmanuel. God is with us. If you don't get anything else, I want you to get this tonight. God loves you in spite of you. God loves you in spite of you. God loves you on the merits of his son. And we're going to see that. And how you view God will determine how you experience his love. And we're going to look at two different ways. And then we're going to come back and look at how in light of his son. The first way that you and I can view God is in light of creation. When you and I view God in light of creation, we see him as a God that is above us. We begin to see God positionally and not personally. And once you begin to see God positionally, you begin to see a God that you cannot identify or I cannot identify with. But in Hebrews, the Bible says that he is a God that positionally is the creator. Matter of fact, one of his positions is he's a high priest. But in Hebrews, it says that you and I have a high priest. Watch this. Who can identify with us, not just in our strengths, but in our weaknesses. The areas that we don't have it together, he can identify. He says, therefore, let us go to the throne of grace boldly, that we may find grace and mercy to help in the time of need. God can identify, even though he's the God of creation. And if you just see him as the God of creation, you're going to see him as a God that is against us. And not as a God that is with us. And I want you to get this. God loves you and loves me so much, he don't want us to just see him as the God of creation. Because if you just see him as the God of creation, there's enough evidence in creation to condemn a man, but not enough to save him. Don't you miss that. It's enough light in creation to condemn a man, but not enough to save him. If you and I wake up and we believe that there's a God because of the moon, the stars, because of all creation, because of his, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, his eternal powers, his eternal and his invisible attribute. It says, and man is without excuse. It's enough to condemn you, but not to see. I want you to see in Genesis chapter 4, how man went from seeing him just as creator to seeing him relational. They moved from seeing him positionally to seeing him personally. That we can have a person love relationship with Almighty God. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 4, verse 25 and verse 26. Genesis chapter 4, it was in my Bible about an hour ago. Verse 25, and Adam had relation with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth. For she said, God has appointed me another offspring in place of Abel, for Cain killed him. Verse 26, and to Seth, to him also a son was born, and he called his name Enos. And here's the key in this. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Then men went from just seeing him as God creator to a relationship. And then men moved from just seeing him as creator to seeing him in a relationship. They began to call on his name. If you and I see God as a God that is above us, we're going to see him as a God who cannot identify us. We're going to see him like an executive, a CEO, or a judge, and he's just sending out memos. He's giving us rules and regulations to do, and he cannot identify with us. But God don't want you to see him that way. God don't want you to see him in light of creation. God wants you to see him in light of his son. So the first way we can see God is in the light of creation. We see him as a God that is above us. He cannot connect. He cannot identify. The second way we can see him is in light of the law. When we see him as in light of the law, we see him as a God that is against us. That when I look at God just in light of the law, then because I cannot perform the law, I begin to see him as a God that is against me. God loved you so much. God did not save you to perform for him. God saved you and me to be in relationship with him. And everything that I do, I ought to be out of my love relationship for him, not because I'm trying to earn his favor. God would never accept you any more than he have already accepted you in the beloved. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God began to fall in love with you and accept you. You have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. I don't get any brownie points for getting on a plane, coming to Minnesota in this cold weather, and standing up here. I don't get any brownie points with God. God, the day he saved me, he fell in love with me, and I'm accepted in the beloved. Romans chapter 3 says that therefore by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. Let me give it to you in Daryl Smith version. Therefore, by you straightening up, therefore, by you changing, therefore, by you going to crew meetings, therefore, by you being in small groups, therefore, by you stop doing bad things and start doing good things, and all those things are good, therefore, by you joining the church, therefore, by whatever you do, you will never earn God's favor. You will never earn God's love. God loves you on the basis of his son. Game over. He loved you on the basis of his son. That when God look at you and look at me, he don't want to see us. He want to see us clothed in the person of Jesus Christ. That's why when you blow it, and you will blow it, and I blow it, we need to run back to him, not because we're worthy, because one have made us worthy. You remember the story of the prodigal son? He had the best relationship to men. He had a father-son relationship, and he broke fellowship. He went out. And he messed up all his money. He was hanging out in the nightclubs. He was partying, and he got broke. And he said, you know, I'm going to go back home. I'm not worthy to be called a servant. Let me say a son. I'm not even worthy to be a servant. And it said when he started to go back, his father saw him from a distance. And his father met him and hugged him and kissed him. And the son was right. He was not worthy. But what gave him worth was not based on what he did, but based on who he is. You and I have worth, and God loves us not based on what we do, but based on who we are. And when God see you, he see you based on who you are, not based on what you do. Don't you miss that. And God loved you, and he loved me based on the finished work in the merits of his son, not on your merits and my merits. We cannot earn God's favor. Let me show you that. Let me show you point two. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. I don't want you all to think I'm making it up. Y'all be saying that big head preacher making that stuff up. He just came to get a piece of pie. He ain't even telling the truth. All he wanted was a piece of custard pie, sweet potato pie. And you know, that's a culture thing. We eat sweet potato pie. Y'all, white people eat pumpkin pie. Chris, I don't do no pumpkin pie. I want sweet potato pie. It's a big difference. Sweet potato pie is sweet. Pumpkin pie tastes like a pumpkin. Why would a man eat, if you're going, instead of making it into a pie, won't you just bust the pumpkin up and dig it out and then put a counter in it and set it on your porch? Don't make sense. Pumpkin. I know what some of y'all are saying. All of those fat guys do it, talk about food. And? All right, back to the scripture. They ain't bring me in to be a stand-up comedian. They bring me in to preach. All right, verse 3, Romans 8. We're talking about if we see him in light of the law, we see him as a God that is against us. In verse 3, for what the law could not do, weak. Get this, for what the law could not do, weak, that is, was through the flesh, God did. Here's the Christmas story. Stay with me. Here's the Christmas story in verse 3. God did, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Why? In order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. What the law couldn't do, what the law could not bring you and I into the right love relationship with Almighty God. Remember I talked about in Romans chapter 3, therefore the by the deeds of the law, no flesh would be justified in God's sight. You and I cannot perform enough to earn God's love. That's not anything you can do. You know the reason we ought to share our faith? It's because we love Jesus, not because we're trying to earn his favor. You know the reason we ought to go on summer missions? It's because we love Jesus and we love people, not because we're trying to earn his favor. There's nothing that you can do and I can do. And I want you to get this. If you're taking notes, write this down. One of the sad commentaries that we have in the 21st century church, we spend more time performing for God than getting in the presence of God. See, it's easier to fall in love with the work and not the one who called you to the work. And if you're not careful and I'm not careful, the reason we want to perform for God, because performance be a reputation, but present be a character. God is more concerned about your character and my character than he is our reputation. And so we spend more time trying to perform for God and not get in the presence of God. And when I get in the presence of God, I end up with the character of God. And when I end up with the character of God, I bring glory to God. The reason I don't bring glory to God, because I don't have the character of God. And the reason I don't have the character of God, because I don't get in the presence of God. So if I want to bring glory to God, I need to get in the presence of God so I can have the character of God. Then I can bring glory to him. It's not based on performance. It's not based on performance. And one of the hardest places to be in the Bible, can I be honest, is in full-time Christian work. Because that's enough Christian activity to make me look godly. That's enough Christian activity to stroke my ego. But God is concerned about me enjoying him. You remember the story of Martha and Mary? Mary, the Bible say that Jesus was coming over and say, Martha was in the kitchen, she was cooking. I mean, she had the neck bones on, the collard greens, the pinto beans, the cornbread. She, okay, I know. Okay, see, I know my audience. She had the casserole in the oven. She had the casserole in the oven. And she, what the Bible says, she was coming about with much distraction. She was coming about with serving. And it say, and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha got mad, went to Jesus and said, wait a minute, I'm doing all this work by myself. I done put my strategic plan together. I'm executing my plan. And Mary is sitting at your feet. Jesus, tell her to come in here and help me finish these casseroles. And Jesus say, Martha, Martha. He called her name twice because he wanted to get it. He say, Martha, Martha, come here, Martha. Martha, Martha, stay with me, Martha. You are worried about the wrong thing. Mary has chose the most needful thing, matter of fact, the only thing, and that's to connect with me in a love relationship. Because there's nothing wrong with cooking for the Savior of the world. There's nothing wrong with doing the Christian work for the Lord, but we ought to do it out of relationship, out of our love relationship for him, not out of performing for him. Because what performance is going to do for you on your campus is going to make you compete and compare. See, when it become about you, you're going to compete and compare. But when you're doing it out of the love and you know that God loves you and accepts you no matter what, then you're going to do it. You're going to do it with the right motives. So when we view God in light of creation, we see him as a God that is above us. When we view him in light of the law, we see him as a God against us. But when we view him in light of his son, we see him as a God that is with us. Turn with me to John chapter 1. Let's see the Christmas story as we wrap this up. John chapter 1. One verse in light of his son. Let's look at verse 1:1 and then 1:14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh, here it go, and dwell among us. And the Word became flesh and dwell among us, and we beheld his glory, as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the Christmas story, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. His name should be called Emmanuel. God is with us. If you're not experiencing God's love tonight, I want you to go back to the Christmas story. I want you to go back and remember that God loves you. And not only is this a Christmas story, but also the Easter story. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:21 is all about. That God made him to become sin for us who knew no sin, that you and I might have the righteousness of God which is in him. That God sent his son into the world for a purpose. That God loved you and I so much. God demonstrated his love for us. You want to know how much God loved you and why we was yet sinners, Romans 5:8 says, Christ died for us. God loved you so much. It don't get no deeper than this, that when you sacrifice your only begotten son, that's love. That love is all about giving, and God gave us the best in his son. Whenever you doubt if God loves you, whenever you are struggling with God's love for you, I want you to run back to the cross. But don't you run back to the cross. I want you to run back to the Christmas story of man, that Jesus came to manifest God's love. You are loved, loved, loved by Almighty God. God loves you. Don't you ever doubt that God don't love you. Some of you all come in here, you come in here with struggles, and you have made bad choices, and you have blown it. And you don't feel loved by God. But God loves you. God loves you. Because when God look at you and he look at me, he look at us in light of his son. He look at us in light of his son. I have an opportunity to experience God's love in my life. I don't deserve God's love and forgiveness. Many of you all, as you have heard, even as the MC said, I'm the national director of Student Venture. But that was not always my journey. See, I grew up in the single parent home. The first dad I ever knew was me when I became a teen father. I had a child when I was a teenager. And I was looking for that unconditional love. But all my life I had been experiencing, I love you if. You know, that I love you if you have sex with me. I love you if you give me money. I love you if you buy me something. Oh, I love you because. I love you because you're cute. I love you because of whatever the case may be. I love you because you're going to have a good job. And I had never experienced unconditional love in my life. And so the first dad I ever knew was me. And I played football. Sports kept me out of major trouble. And I wanted to go out to college and play college football and was a good athlete in high school. But I would have been the first person in my family to attend a university. Within a week, I was back home. And I ended up marrying my high school sweetheart, Gwen. I asked Gwen to marry me. I was 19. She was 18. I had never seen a man love my mother, so I didn't know how to love Gwen. The young man gave the testimony, and that was some of my life, where you show a person how much you love them, you show a woman how much you love them through sexual intimacy. And Gwen and I married. I joined the Army. We was in Fort Hood, Texas, and I lived my life. I stayed out. I partied. I drank, and I would come home. Didn't know how to love Gwen, and then my daughter Ashley was born. Didn't know how to love Ashley. I had never seen anybody love. I had never had a man to love me. So I didn't know how to be a father, didn't know how to love. And we came back to Chattanooga, and after doing 3 years in the military, and a lot of my friends had chose the lifestyle of a drug dealer. And I had got a job at UPS, God had blessed me. And Gwen was a believer, I was not a believer. And I can remember us being in financial poverty, and I felt like I was born in financial poverty, and why not sell drugs to get out? Because a man can justify wrong when he want to do wrong. And I became a drug dealer. And I began to destroy people's lives by selling them crack cocaine. And I remember calling Gwen on the phone and telling her I didn't want to be married anymore. And I left us as a single parent the way that my mom was a single parent. And Ashley, my daughter, was 3 and Elliot was 2 weeks old. And I walked out on my family. And I moved back in the housing project, and Satan rewarded me with killing, stealing, and destroying people's lives. And I was wearing a mask. I was hurting, and I was looking for love in all the wrong places. And I remember coming from Atlanta to Chattanooga, about an hour and a half drive. I was stopped on the interstate. I had over $20,000 worth of cocaine, $4,000 in cash, and 2 automatic weapons. At that time, Gwen and I had legally divorced. I had truly walked away from my family at that time. And I was facing 30 years in the Georgia State Prison. And eventually I was sentenced to 10 years to serve 4. And in prison, I would go to chapel service, not because I wanted a love relationship with the God of the universe, but I would go to chapel service because I wanted God to get me out of prison so I can go sell drugs again. I wanted to look good in front of the wardens. But even though my motives was wrong, don't you miss this. God's motives was that he loved me. And God was drawing me unto himself. And God began to tell me about his unconditional love, that he loved me no matter what, that God demonstrated his love for me, you, Daryl, while you was a yet sinner, Christ died for you. And God began to share with me that I was a sinner, not because I sold drugs, not because I had a child as a teenager, not because I walked out on my family, but it was my very nature. If I would have been born in suburban America and would have knew both of my parents, I still needed to experience God's love and forgiveness in my life. I still needed to experience God's truth. I needed Jesus Christ so I can experience God, that grace, that Jesus came full of grace and truth. And God began to show me for the first time what it means to be loved by God in the context of a relationship. God was not asking me to perform for him. God was asking me to accept him. And in my prison cell, I fell on my knees before a holy God. And I remember saying, God, I have tried everything that the world said gonna make me happy, but I'm empty. If this Jesus that I'm hearing about, if this Jesus that I'm reading about, if he's real, I want him in my life. And I accepted Jesus into my life as my Savior and Lord. And I began to read his word, and I fell in love with him. Didn't know anything about any Greek or Hebrew. Didn't know anything about dispensation, a man responsibility, predestination, election. All I knew that yes, Jesus loved me, for the Bible tell me so. This I know, for the Bible tell me so. That's all I knew, that Jesus loved me. Red, yellow, black, and white, they all precious in his sight. That was enough to keep me in prison. And I fell in love with his word, and I began to read his word. And his word became the most significant thing in my life. And God began to speak to me that it was never his intent for me to divorce Gwen and walk out on my family. And God gave me my family back. He brought me out of prison after serving over just a little over 2 years. I called Gwen and told Gwen I was a believer. And God said we should reconcile. And Gwen said, "Daryl, you got me once. You won't get me twice. If you're a Christian, I'll see you in heaven." And I understood her hurt and pain that I had caused. But the same God that was speaking to me was speaking to her. And when God brought me out of prison, we kept our same wedding date. We had married on August the 28th for 84. We remarried on August the 28th for 92. And not only did God bring me out of prison, that was enough. See, his grace that saved me was enough. If he didn't do anything else, I could be forever grateful. But he brought me out and gave me my family back. And that was more than enough. I didn't deserve it. Don't you miss that? I didn't deserve it. But it's the loving kindness of God through a relationship, how we experience his love and forgiveness. But not only did he give me my family back, but God brought me into full-time Christian work. I had never heard of Campus Crusade, had never heard of Student Venture, but I heard of Jesus Christ. And God began to deal with me and bring, and me and Gwen, we had remarried, brought us off our job, and by faith we began to trust him, and he brought us on staff. And I stand before you, I don't meet the profile of a Campus Crusade staff. Yeah, I've been in the military, I've been to prison, I have no college degree, and I don't know a lot, but what I do know that Jesus is real and that he loved me, and I experience his love every day in my life, and for that I'm ever grateful and I ever thank. I never wanted to be a great speaker. I never wanted to be important. My life verse is more required of a steward is that a man be found faithful. God hasn't called me to be great. He hasn't called me to be popular. But what I do know that God loved me so much that he reached down and stopped and had the police to stop me on the interstate, put me in a prison cell so I can know about his love. And for that, I want to serve him. I don't want to shine for God. I want to serve for God because God loved me. And God loved you. God loved you. And I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know what issues or what struggles you bring into this room. And I don't know if you feel that you're not good enough, that you're not performing enough for God, that God can't identify with you, that he's a God above you or he's a God against you. I don't know where you are tonight, but I want you to know if you are a Christian, he is a God that's in you. He dwells among you. His name is Emmanuel. God is with us. And that's the Christmas story. And that's the God that I've been talking about, the person of Jesus Christ. I want to pray for you tonight that you will experience that love. I want to pray that you will experience that love. Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you that you love us. We're so grateful that you're not a God that is against us, that you're not a God that is above us, but you're a God that is with us. Oh, we thank you, Father, that over many, many years ago, you saw fit to send your son into the world to die in our place. That's love. No greater love would a man lay his life down for a friend. Father, thank you for laying your life down, for coming into this world as flesh, in a world that is corrupt, and we even shook our fists at you. Didn't want no part of you, but you still pursued us in the context of a relationship. Father, I pray for every person represented, staff, students, volunteers, all of us. I don't know where people are on their journey, Father, but I pray that they would know that they are loved by you. It's not based on what they do, but it's based on who they are. And they belong to you. And nothing could change that because they've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise to the day of redemption. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.